Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this Sunday evening at 7 p.m., October 15th, 2023.
Wow.
Time is just moving on.
It is.
And it's amazing, though. It's been a beautiful fall so far. The leaves are changing. The weather's been really nice. And
yes.
It's just been beautiful. And it's good to be alive, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It really is. Life is so good.
You know, it's wonderful when you just take the time to sit and experience the sunshine and the changing colors and the cooler temperatures and just see what God has created.
It's so true. And I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in the day and the things that we have to do, you know, got to hurry to go here, hurry to go there. That's what I love about the Sabbath, Ed.
Yeah.
You know, we come together on the Sabbath to worship. So before we get started here, I want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us here on New Visions Radio each week. You can find us here every week at 7 p.m. And speaking of the Sabbath, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed, would you?
Well, Prophecies of Hope is a little ministry in Virginia. We have services on Wednesday evening. We have a Bible study and a little bit of prayer time then. And then that's at 7 p.m. on Eastern time. And we have that available to anybody that wishes via Zoom.
Yeah.
And also we have our normal church service on Saturday or Sabbath. And we have a Bible study. And we have a normal church service. The Bible study is at 9:30, which is stream-lived and also available via Zoom. And we have our church service at 11 a.m.
Yeah, and if you'd like to send us an email, how do they email you, Ed?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can email me at mark at prophecyhope.com. Now, you know, we've been really blessed in this ministry, and we have a couple of new microphones here that we're trying. So if you hear, if we sound a little different, hopefully we sound better.
Yeah.
I need all the help I can get.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, depending on how you said this, I was going to say, if you were going to say you sound different, I was going to say, do you have a cold or something?
You know, it's funny. I woke up this morning and one side of my face felt clogged up. You ever have that?
Yeah.
I think it's just allergies this time of year.
Change of seasons. Yeah,
this happens. And so our microphones, I'm really pleased to that we were able to get these. So you might hear things like when I turn my page in my Bible, that's a little more pronounced now. And until we get these things tweaked, just kind of bear with us. We're trying to work out getting everything set just right. And this is our first broadcast using these mics. Ed found these mics for us.
So. Yeah, well, I personally use one of these at home, and I would bring it in occasionally to use it to record with. And you like the sound of it. So.
It sounds so nice. Yeah. It really does. So the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, you can find all of our sermons that we've given at Prophecies of Hope. You can find those at prophecyhope.com. You can go to the website and you'll find a lot of the radio programs archived, except for this year's. We haven't done those yet. And, you know, just the other day I went online. I was getting emails from people saying that the website was down.
Okay.
But we got it up and running again, fortunately. And it was just somebody tried to hack it.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody tried to hack the website. I didn't think I had told you that.
No.
But, you know, fortunately we have the service where they get things up and running pretty quick.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so that's a blessing. And is there anything, any more business we have to do before we start the study, Ed? Are we?
Well, the only other thing I want to ask you, we recently did a prophecy series. Is that available online too?
That is available. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. That is available online. And we just the program that we did last week, we had Jason in the studio with us, which was really good.
Yeah.
And he gives extended sermons on Islam and Bible prophecy and how all of these things tie together, the United States, Islamic movement, the papacy, all of these things.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. How that happens. So, yeah, you can find those if you the site should be pretty easy to navigate. On the left side of the website, when you go to prophecyhope.com, you'll see where it says Bible series. And if you click that little drop down menu, you have each year. And you'll notice some of them are repeated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things sometimes we tweak a little bit because we're in a different time period now than we were 10 years ago when we started. Lots happened in the last 10 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think this world's changed.
New people listen. And
that's
so
very
they
true.
Need to hear some of the things we've talked about in the past.
Very true. They really do. So I tell you what, I'm trying to think. Is that it?
I think so.
Pretty much. So you want to have an opening prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're just thankful to be here where we can open your word, the Bible, and study to see what it has to say. Because we still live in biblical times. The things of the Bible are still being fulfilled. And they are given to us for a reason, to show us that you are the true God, and that you love us, that you've given us the gift of your Son, and that through your Son, we can experience salvation and eventually eternal life. So, Father, as we open your word today, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding to understand these things and to be able to apply them to our lives and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, you mentioned in your prayer that we're still living in biblical times.
Yes.
So many people don't think about that. You know, all of the things in the Bible have not yet been fulfilled.
Right.
Right? And that's how you can say that.
Right.
So last week, we had started talking about Romans in the, I'm trying to remember the theme, the rock.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, let's go to Romans 9 and just review the last four verses of that, and that will get us going, I
okay.
think.
So one of the things I wanted to say before we start this is we're going to review a lot of the things that we talked about
right.
there, but also you have a YouTube channel, and you posted a little video
right.
about this topic.
Right.
So I've asked you if you would share that with these folks here on
right.
New Visions Radio.
I tried to do it last week, but it was so fast because
yeah.
we didn't have any time. But we can take our time.
Yeah, let's take our time and go through this point by point.
Right.
And we have the rest of the program to do
right.
it. So where do we go from here?
Let's start in Romans 9. And if you could read verses 30 through 33.
All right. So this is Romans 9, beginning in verse 30. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame."
So here we're talking about the difference between the Gentiles and the Jews, that the Jews tried to accomplish their salvation through keeping the law, which is nothing wrong with keeping the law, but mm-hmm. it doesn't save us. You know, first of all, not everybody— there's no one that can keep the law perfectly.
Right.
All have sinned and come short of
Only
the glory of God.
Only one has done that.
Yeah, right. It's the rock of offense.
That's right.
And so God created salvation through the gift of his Son. That was the means that everyone, each person on earth, has available to them, the salvation through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But to the Jews, it was a stumbling stone, a rock. That's who Christ was to them.
So it's something offensive to people. Is
right.
what we're
about things differently sometimes. They use symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Christ, even though it doesn't say this is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And a number of weeks ago, I had been particularly versed in Isaiah 28 about a stone. This is talking about Jesus Christ. So I wanted to investigate that more. And so I created this link with these descriptions of Jesus Christ.
Now, are you going to share
text?
Okay.
And so the context is Isaiah 28, verses 12 through 21. And this is the modern King James Version. Verse 12 says, "To whom he said, This is the rest, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they were not willing to hear," talking about the children of Israel. Don't we need rest in our lives?
Absolutely.
Don't we need to rest in our trust in God? Yes, and not the things of this world, or not even in ourselves.
Before we started, Ed, we were talking about taking the time to slow down and observe the things around us. That's part of the rest.
Yes.
That's part of the refreshing that you're talking about.
Verse 13, but the word of Jehovah to them was precept on precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah. Jehovah is another name for God.
Mm-hmm.
Scornful men who rule this people in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and we have made a vision with hell. When the overwhelming rod shall pass through, it shall not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and we had hidden ourselves under falsehood. God is telling them, you've convinced yourself that you're going to be saved through your own means. You've lied to yourself. You've hidden yourself under falsehoods, thinking you're going to be okay.
Ed, I see this happening today to a lot of people. This happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. They thought they could save themselves.
By covering themselves with fig leaves.
Yes.
Yeah. Verse 16, therefore, so says the Lord Jehovah, behold, I have placed in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes shall not hurry. So this is talking about Jesus. And if we continued on in this section of Scripture in Isaiah 28, we find that in verse 17, also I will lay judgment to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place.
Mm.
You think you can hide from my judgment. You think that your lies, your trust in your own lies, will keep you safe, and it won't.
Right.
And your covenant with death, verse 18, shall be wiped out, and your vision with hell shall not stand. When the overwhelming rod shall pass through, then you shall be beaten down by it. From the time that it goes out, it shall take you, for morning by morning it shall pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be only a terror to understand the message.
Hmm.
For the bed is shorter than one can stretch himself on, and the cover is narrower than one can wrap himself in. For Jehovah shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, so that he may do his work, his strange work, and to bring pass his act, his strange act. This strange work, this strange act, is the end of time where God shall bring judgment upon the world.
Yes.
You notice what he's telling them. The bed that you made, you think you're safe in, is shorter than what you can stretch yourself out on, and the cover is narrower than one can wrap himself in.
You know, I was picturing how uncomfortable that can be.
Right.
You know, it should make us uncomfortable. What he's saying to them should make them uncomfortable and recognize their need for something, right?
Right. They took comfort in their lies, their falsehood. They had prophets who God did not send that told them smooth things, things that were comfortable to hear. Yet God's true prophets were sent to give them warnings. If you don't change your ways, you know, you're going to pay the consequences for this. And that's what happens today. People get comfortable in their beliefs and don't want to take a look at their lives and realize that God will judge you according to how you live your life. He has given us a way to live that's according to his character, his morals, his standards.
Yeah, this world that we live in is a world that people want to be told what they want to be told instead of what they have to be told.
A refuge of lies.
Yeah, and so these things in the Bible, I think the reason a lot of people don't like the Old Testament is because it is very pointed, and it says we need to get our lives straight. And really, we find that same message in the New Testament.
Oh, yes.
It's no different.
No.
But people kind of, they read it differently. They think it's more padded and there's more grace in the New Testament.
Oh, it's just as pointed as the Old Testament.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. So when we looked at these things we just read in Isaiah 28, in verse 12 it talked about this rest, cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they weren't willing to hear. So when I think of rest, I think of Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Can you read that for us?
Sure. Let me see.
Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30.
All right. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28.
And this is Jesus speaking.
Yes, it is. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Remember when we read in Isaiah 28, God was wanting to give them rest, but they wouldn't believe.
Mm.
And so here Jesus is telling them about that rest. You know, I am that stone. I'm that rock of offense. Come to me and I'll give you rest, just as my Father wants to give you rest in the salvation I can provide for you, rest in the sacrifice I'm going to give for you, rest in the life that I want to live within you, to give you power to overcome sin in your lives, to set the prisoners free, to give light to those that are in darkness.
Isn't it amazing to you, Ed, that this very thing that Jesus is trying to give us, this rest, is the very thing, the very commandment that most people want to ignore?
Yeah.
What Christ is trying to give us is the commandment that Christians say, well, that one's not important, the rest.
Right.
And how can, you know, he's trying to show us we can come into that rest. We don't have to be burdened down with the things of this world.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's just, and I wonder so many times, how do people survive that don't have the hope that we have in Christ Jesus? How do they live in this world?
Some don't survive.
They don't. There's no hope for them in their mind. There's hope for them.
Right.
But in their mind, there's no hope. And if you know Christ Jesus, we have that hope.
Right. He's the hope that God has given us.
And that's what this study is pointing us to.
Right. You know, in Isaiah 28, it uses the phrase, "I place in Zion a stone for a foundation."
Mm.
So let's look at this. Jesus, the foundation, who was placed in Zion or Jerusalem or Israel.
That's verse 16 of Isaiah 28 that you just quoted.
Yeah. Let's go to Matthew 16.
Okay.
And let's read verses 15 through 18. Jesus is asking the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples say, "Well, some men say you're Elijah or some other prophet." And then Jesus begins in verse 15. Can you read that for us, 15 through 18?
Matthew 16, beginning in verse 15, he, that's Jesus, said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it."
Jesus is this foundation. This is this rock that he's going to build this church on. This rock that he's talking about is verse 18, is this foundational statement that Peter made, that you are Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And upon this, Jesus will build his church. Mark, when we first came together as began this church, we were meeting in another church. We were renting a room to have our services in. And someone said, "Why don't we find our own place to worship?"
Yeah.
And so we started looking at different churches. And there was one out in Middlebrook that we looked at.
Yeah.
A big
old brick town in Virginia church. Yeah.
And we looked at the foundation, and there was a cornerstone, and it gave us the date that church was founded.
Right, I remember that.
It was the foundation of the church. It was the cornerstone. Here Jesus is saying, "I am that cornerstone. I am the Son of the living God. On this rock, on this foundational statement, I will build my church."
Yeah, you know, this is a very misunderstood verse by millions and millions of Christians. There are many who believe something false about this verse.
Yes.
But if we understand the difference between the words that were used for Peter and the word that was used for rock, there's a difference there.
Yes.
One is Petros, one is Petra. One means little pebble, and one means like a foundational stone.
Right. So we're going to talk.
Oh, you're going to get into that.
We're going to talk about
good.
A precious cornerstone that Isaiah 28 mentions.
Great. That's great.
And it's going to show us that Jesus is that cornerstone. He is that foundation he's talking about in Matthew 16. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2.
Okay.
And I want to read verses 19 through 22. The whole book of Ephesians is fantastic, but we're just going to look at this little section here. And again, Mark, can you read verses 19 through 22 of Ephesians chapter 2?
Ephesians 2, yes. It says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit."
So Jesus is not only the foundation of the church, he's the precious cornerstone of the church.
That's what it says right there.
For what purpose? So that we can be built together into a holy sanctuary in Christ, that we can be a dwelling place for God himself through the Spirit.
Being fitted together is what this says in this translation.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ed, we've talked a lot. You have something you want to say.
Well, yeah. Remember, in the Old Testament, the sanctuary that was built, God told Moses, "Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among my people."
Mm.
Here, God is getting to a closer yet relationship with his children, his believers,
yes,
through his son, Jesus Christ. Because we're built together into a holy sanctuary with Christ being that chief cornerstone so that God can dwell in us through his Spirit.
Amen.
But that can only happen through his son, Jesus Christ.
Mm. So let's make sure we understand this. In verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So when you, Ed, you've built some things. When you build, if you're going to build a deck or a building, where do you start?
Well, you start with the foundation.
The foundation.
You have first of all, you have to have a plan.
Yes.
And then you kind of put that plan onto the ground. You stake out the dimensions of it. You try to get it square.
Right.
And so that things will line up, you know?
So when we're talking about this foundation, if we're not built on Christ Jesus, then our foundation is not going to be solid.
Right.
Right? This is why he's called the rock, right? This is why he's the stone. There's a lot of names for Jesus Christ.
We'll get to talk more about foundation a little bit later.
Okay. I'm sorry. I get so excited about this stuff.
Yeah, you're very true. Again, another description of Jesus Christ in Isaiah 28. It calls Jesus a tried stone.
Okay.
What do they mean by, what does God mean by that when he's talking about his son, in a prophetic sense, going to be a tried stone.
Maybe tested or, you know, put through the paces, so to speak, right?
So let's look at this in Hebrews chapter 4.
Okay.
And if we turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and simply read verses 14 through 16.
You want me to read that?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
This is how Jesus fits that description of a tried stone. Jesus was sent to this earth by his Father. He was made in all ways like his brothers. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Hmm.
First one was Hebrews 2, the second one, Romans 8. Yet he was tempted in all points like we were, yet without sin. Mm. He was a tried stone. He was successful in his obedience to his Father.
So, and maybe this is a topic we can do next week, maybe if we get through this week,
okay,
about this Word becoming flesh, about Jesus. How did he become flesh? I think that's important, okay, for people to know.
Right.
Because all of this fits together. We have to understand these things,
yes,
in order to realize what was at risk, what did God do for us in sending his Son, and what did Jesus Christ leave to come here?
Right.
And what's he doing now?
There's so many different things that are popping into mind when you're talking about the difference between Christ who humbled himself and Satan who says, I want to be like God.
Mm. Yeah, there's so much there.
You know? So anyways, another statement that God made about his Son in Isaiah 28 was talking about a sure foundation.
Mm.
So let's go to Matthew chapter 7.
Okay.
And let's read verses 24 through 27. A sure foundation.
Matthew 7.
And again, can you read that for us, Mark?
Sure. 24 through 27.
27.
This is Jesus speaking again. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall."
Jesus is that sure foundation. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, he speaks only the words that his Father gave him to speak. Mm. Why? Because he knows they lead to life everlasting.
Amen.
And so whoever rests in Jesus Christ, even though the rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall because it was founded on a rock.
Mm. I think of, you know, anything built on a rock. You know, I was telling somebody just 2 days ago, I was telling them about, I have a building at my shop.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to put it in a certain spot. Well, you have to dig down.
Right.
There was a solid rock right there. And so you had to bust this rock up. So we got permission from the county. And when the county man came out, the engineer, he said, "Well, you know what we can do? Instead of busting up this whole big hill that's a rock, let's just drill into the rock and we'll put a piece of steel rebar in it and we can set the foundation on that."
Yeah.
But the thing is, what gives it its strength? Not the steel, the rock.
Yeah.
We were in the rock, right, and we need to be in the rock, don't
we? Yeah. So Jesus is the sure foundation. All these descriptions in Isaiah 28 fit Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah, and he has to be the foundation of everything that we know and understand because he points us to the Father.
You know, so much of Christianity knows of Jesus from the New Testament.
It's true.
But Jesus was active in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Let's look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I hope you don't mind reading, Mark.
No, I don't mind at all.
Verses 1 through 4.
1 Corinthians 10.
Verses 1 through 4.
1 through 4. All right. And again, I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers who were under the cloud all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ."
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty
amazing,
isn't it?
He was involved in the Old Testament, guiding the Israelites as they left Egypt.
So we find that account, if anybody wants to read that, you find that in Exodus chapter 17.
Okay.
And you can read through. I encourage people to use your Bibles and read these things that these New Testament verses are pointing to, because that's what this is talking about, Exodus chapter 17.
Yes, let's go next to 1 Peter,
okay.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 8.
Let's see. You know, I'm using this old study Bible, and it's falling apart. 2 Peter, did you say?
1 Peter.
1 Peter, chapter 2.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And this is just a verse that correlates what we read in Romans chapter 9, the very last verse.
Okay, you want me to read that?
Yes, please.
All right, 1 through 8. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, and this is quoting from Isaiah 28,
yes.
16.
Yes.
It says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, and this is Psalm 118 here, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed.
So here we have, again, that Jesus is this rock, the sure foundation, the tried stone.
Peter here is pointing to those Old Testament verses,
Christ.
Saying this is Christ.
Yes.
He's making it very clear, isn't he?
But here's the sad part. To some, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those that don't want to be obedient to God.
Yeah.
You know, remember in Isaiah 28, it talked about those that took refuge in lies and falsehoods.
Mm.
And that the bed that they made was shorter than they can stretch on. The coverings
right.
that they
right.
had were not wide enough to cover them.
Right.
So
that's uncomfortable when you're in a bed that's too short, or if you don't have enough blankets and it's
yes.
cold,
yeah.
right?
So how is Jesus a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense? Let's look at that.
Okay.
Let's go to John chapter 10.
All right.
And again, let's read verses 31 through 36.
Okay. You want me to read that?
Please.
Okay, John 10:31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That is to stone Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those do you stone me? Or for which of those works do you stone me, it says. Verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand.
Right. So here they're offended because Jesus said, I am the Son of God.
Yeah, you notice what they accused him of, though. They accused him of calling him, make himself God.
That's not what Jesus claimed. He never claimed that.
He never did.
He never said he was God. He always told them, I am the Son of God.
Yeah.
So they found this offensive. They accused him of blasphemy. they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him because he said that.
Because he said he's the Son of God.
He is the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling.
Yes.
They wanted salvation through the means that they had set up for themselves. Through their, see, the temple services pointed to the Lamb of God that would come and fulfill those sacrificial services for forgiveness of sin. And that was the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they at one time understood that, they didn't see Christ as being that Lamb of God, that Messiah, the Son of God. And so it was offensive to them because they thought they had salvation through their services.
Yeah.
But the very services they thought they had salvation through pointed towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Right. And you know, the thing about all of this is through all of those years, they even knew that they understood the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the timing of this. Yet somehow they see this man, Jesus, and they reject him.
Yeah.
And all of the timing was right. He was doing the things that the Bible said in the Old Testament that he would do. All of those things pointed to this very man, to the Son of God.
But he wasn't who they expected. He there was nothing about him that was attractive to people. He was came from a humble origin. You know, he lived a very humble, simple life.
Mm.
And they said, how can this be the Son of God?
Right. You know, there's a text that talks about that he wasn't, that he wasn't really a handsome man.
Right.
Right. That's in the Old Testament.
Yeah, Isaiah 53.
And do we have time to read
that? Sure.
Can we go there?
No.
And I think that would be good for people to hear. Isaiah 53, and I think it's the whole chapter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And the very first part talks about his appearance wasn't desirable.
Yeah. Do you have that, Ed?
I'm
turning there. I've got it here. Did you want to read that? I think we should read the whole chapter.
Okay, that's
because
fine.
It points right directly, you know, just...
It's only 13 verses.
Yeah, it's pretty short. And as we read through this, just think, picture what this is talking about. Did you want to read that? Or you want
sure,
me to read
I can
it?
Read that. This is the Modern King James. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Jehovah revealed? Doesn't that say a lot? Who's believed us?
Yeah.
Jesus is the stone of stumbling. No one wants to believe him. No one puts their faith in the way of salvation that God has prepared.
Even today.
Yes.
Even today.
Verse 2, for he comes up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or majesty that we should see him, or an appearance that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, and as it were a hiding of faces from him, he being despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we ourselves are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, each one in his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Mm.
Iniquity is another word for sin.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he put his grave with the wicked, and with a rich one in his death, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Jehovah to crush him, to grieve him, that he should put forth his soul as a guilt offering. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the will of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of his travail in of his soul, and he shall be fully satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify for many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide to him with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul to death, and he was counted among the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
You know, this is beautiful. This was written 600 years before Jesus came to earth.
Yeah.
This was prophesied, and it happened just as it said.
Yeah. In Isaiah 53:2, it says, he had no form or majesty that we should see him or desire him, or appearance that we should desire him. He wasn't attractive.
Right.
He was a simple, plain, ordinary man.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, the Jewish people that rejected him, they knew this scripture.
Yes.
They understood the scripture.
Yet they were looking for a king.
Yes.
A king to rescue them from the Jews, some strong man
from
to take
Romans,
charge.
Yeah.
To rescue them from the Romans, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He did come to rescue them from themselves.
Yeah, to rescue them eternally.
Yeah. Yeah. He rescues us from our sins, from our iniquity. He comes to give us eternal life, just like you just said, Ed.
Let's look a little bit of this prophecy in Matthew 26.
Okay.
Verses 63-66.
Matthew 26,
verses 63-66.
Okay. I'm there. Did you say 23 or 26?
Matthew 26, 63-66.
It's a lot of sixes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you want me to read that?
Yes.
Okay, so Matthew 26, beginning in verse 63. It says, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? And it said, let's see, look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death.
So look at the first words you read in verse 63, but Jesus was silent.
Mm-hmm.
We had just read in Isaiah 53 that Jesus would be like a sheep before a shearers, not saying anything.
Mm. Yeah, we did.
He did not open his mouth.
Yeah. Now, he gave a strong witness up to this point, didn't he? He was witnessing.
And the question that the high priest asked him, tell us whether you are the Christ. Christ is another word for Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
The Son of God.
That's what he said. And he says, it's as you say.
Yeah. And what was the response in verse 66? He is worthy of death.
Yeah.
The stone of stumbling, the rock of offense.
Mm.
This was offensive to them that God has sent his Son for the salvation of mankind. And that was offensive to them.
Mm. And, you know, it's sad that this same thing is offensive to people today.
To people that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That even happened in Jesus' time.
Hmm.
Let's go to John chapter 6.
Okay.
And if you could read, Mark, for us, John 6, verses 58-69.
Okay. John chapter 6. And I'm going to start in verse 58. And Jesus is speaking here in John 6, 58. And you want me to read through verse 69, you said?
69,
okay.
Yes.
This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So there it is.
So in John chapter 6, Jesus is proclaiming that he's the bread of life, that he's come down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna in the desert and died, but he who partakes of this bread shall live forever. And this was offensive to them, to claim that he was the Son of God. He came down from heaven, that his Father sent him. And Jesus asked them in verse 61, does this offend you? He's the rock of offense.
Right.
And notice that many after this time walked no more with him. His disciples, of his disciples, his followers, because this was offensive to them. He says, if that offends you, what's going to happen? What are you going to think when I return to my Father in heaven?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, Jesus was really, it was very important to him that people understood who he is, the Son of the living God. This was very important. And this is something that today many people don't understand. We've talked about this so many times in this ministry. The Jews rejected him as the Son of God. The Muslim community rejects him as the Son of God. And many Christians, while they say they believe he's the Son of God, they're offended. He becomes the rock of offense when we say he's the literal Son of God.
Yeah.
It's offensive to people.
Yeah. It is, and it's. I don't think people really have read their Bibles to know what difference it makes that Jesus is the Son of God.
So, can you expound on that a little bit? Do you have
that
a thought on that?
That would take a long time.
So
I'm working on a video right now that's talking about this very issue.
Oh, very good.
In the Council of Nicaea.
Okay.
In 325.
So maybe what we can do in the future, one of the future programs, you can lay down this information for us and help us to understand it.
Yeah.
So for those, go ahead. You were going to say
something. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say for those of you who aren't familiar with the Council of Nicaea, that took place in about 325.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And then lots of things happened to, I guess, adjust the identity of God and Christ, away from what the Bible actually says.
Yes.
So, and it's been kind of it's been a gradual effect over the decades and over the centuries, I would say. And today, a lot of people have adopted various understandings of who Jesus is.
Yes.
And all we're doing in this program is we're pointing to all of those things. Well, many of those things Ed is pointing to here that show that Jesus is the rock of salvation, and he is offensive to a lot of people because he claimed to be the Son of God.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to another text in Matthew 21.
All right.
And if you could read for us verses 42 through 46.
Sure. Matthew 21, verse 42, it says, Jesus said to them, Have you never read the scriptures? Have you never read in all this in the scriptures? I think most people haven't read the scriptures. It says it's quoting Psalms. It says the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes, because they took him for a prophet.
Here Jesus is just point blank saying to the Pharisees, you don't believe who I am. You're rejecting me, the cornerstone. I am a rock of offense to you.
You know what? Go ahead. You were going to say something else.
Look at verse 44. It says, he who falls on this stone shall be broken. Who is referring to those who realize, I don't have salvation in myself.
Hmm.
I can't be obedient to God's law and become right in his eyes by myself. I've tried and I've failed. I fall on that stone, Jesus Christ. I'm Amen. Broken, understanding my sinfulness, but I find hope and faith in the Son of God, that rock of offense, mm-hmm. that he can change me and make me into the person that God created me to be.
You know, what's amazing to me is the language that's used here in Matthew 21:44, whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a stone. Oh, is that where you're headed next?
Oh, well, I didn't do it in my video, but yeah, I have it hidden slide here. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go there. And,
okay, you want to go
yes.
there?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Take us
so,
there, Mark.
Yeah, so in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he doesn't understand it, and he really doesn't even remember it.
Yeah.
And so he comes to his magistrates and the soothsayers and all of these people that are fortune tellers. They're really Babylonian people that don't believe in the one true God. Mm. And he wants to know the dream and its interpretation. Well, there was only one who knew that dream, and that's God. God gave him that dream. And then Daniel and his three companions, Hebrew boys, they prayed to God, and God revealed the dream to them.
Yeah.
And so Daniel goes to the king, and he shares this. Where did you want me to start, Ed? Is there a particular spot?
Why don't you just tell us the interpretation?
Yeah, so he has this dream, and let me see. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation. So it begins in verse 37 of Daniel chapter 2. So here it is. He tells him this dream, and now he's going to interpret it. And he says, this is Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. He says, "You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth, and a fourth kingdom which shall be strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of iron and partly of potter's clay, and the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile." And this is here we come to the part that I was talking about. "And you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. They will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the gold, the silver. The great God made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure."
Who is that stone?
The stone is Jesus.
Yeah.
The rock of offense, right? The stone of stumbling. And we read here in verse 44 of Matthew that it would grind them to powder.
Yeah.
And really, that's what we see.
King Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. king of Babylon, normally put his trust in his wise men, his astrologers,
yes.
his magicians, yet they could do nothing for him.
Mm.
You know, I just read this morning in Isaiah 47, talking about Babylon,
mm-hmm.
about who they put their trust in. And I want to start in verse 10 and read through verse 15.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to start a little bit earlier,
okay.
verse 9. For these two things shall come to you in a moment in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come on you in their fullness, for the multitude of your sorceries and the great power of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted you. You have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else. But evil shall come on you, and you shall not know its origin. And mischief shall fall on you, and you shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come on you suddenly, you shall know not. Stand now with your spells, with a multitude of your sorceries, in which you have wearied yourself since your youth. Perhaps you shall be able to profit. Perhaps you may bring terror. You are exhausted by your money plans. Now let the astrologers stand up and save you. The stargazers make known what is coming on you into the new moons. Behold, they shall be a stubble, and fire shall burn them. And they shall not deliver them, fall to warm them, nor fire to sit before them. So they are to you with whom you've labored, your merchants from your youth. Each one wanders in its own way. None shall save you. None of these things shall save you.
None of them.
Stargazing, astrologers, all this sorceries is what it's called.
It is. That's what Nebuchadnezzar at one time put his trust in those. But he called God the God of heaven once Daniel had interpreted this dream, told him what he dreamed and interpreted it.
Right.
And all of this pointed to this rock,
this
stone of stumbling.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's a beautiful study. You know, that went really fast. I'm sure there's still some more you have to share.
We'll see where we go next week.
Okay, we'll see where this leads. And you know, this. Thank you so much for this study. So now we understand more about this rock of offense that we talk about, and the stone of stumbling. And we're out of time, Ed. It's time to close with prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a closing prayer, if that's all right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your word, the Bible, and how cohesive it is and how understandable it is and how all of these things point to your love for us and that you sent your Son so that we could have eternal life. And Father, I just pray that people will hear this message and that they will recognize that Jesus is your Son, and they will put faith in him and in the things that you and your Son Jesus will do for us for eternity. We're grateful for all of these gifts. Father, we thank you for being able to be here. We ask that your Spirit will be with those who are tuning in and others until we can come together again. And Father, we ask your blessing upon us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thank you so much. What a wonderful study.
Yeah, it's great to study God's Word.
It is. And I'm looking forward to next week. And friends, we hope you will tune in next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.